Welcome to Career Tools. Today's show, Decorating Your Desk, Part 1. I think this one is going to anger some people.
Yeah, you said when we were starting, you thought we'd ruffle some feathers.
I do.
And I had to think through it a little bit. I agree with you a little bit. And yet, I don't know. Maybe, okay, I'll just say, okay, sometimes feathers need to be ruffled.
Okay. So
I'm the designated feather ruffler. I don't know.
Okay. So let's jump right into ruffling feathers. Now, this is one of those casts interesting because we try to make our cast timeless. Now, somebody one time gave some feedback and made us sound a little pompous in the fact that we were trying to make things timeless.
Yeah.
You know, we try to put out things that withstand the test of time, not timeless in the sense of Dickens or something like that.
Yeah,
right?
good.
And I think that's probably what he thought we were saying.
Well, but how many, if you read blogs today, if you pay attention to management thinking, right? It's the fad of the month. Consulting firms, books have been written about consulting firms taking advantage of the fad of the month and building a practice around X, and then the practice goes away. And there's all kinds of timely advice. Oh, you know, the latest thing I would bet is using social media to boost your business.
Right.
Okay. It's a bit like having really, really pretty buildings and not having the foundation work real well. You know, what have we said before? Good management is boring, unsexy, unpretty, routine, repetitive, and it works like a charm. So, yeah. So this is, you know, our guidance here is timeless. When I think of this cast, 20 years ago, would our guidance here have been valid?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
40 years from now, other than the fact that the workplace is becoming more atomized and virtual, I would even argue that, well, look, I'll be happy to share pictures of my desk at home. And it's at home. My desk is in a home office separate from the house. And it meets this criteria. So,
you know. And what drove you to think about this a little bit, I think, though, is that even though we try to be timeless, this cast will probably come out in the summer of 2010. And recently, there was an article in Forbes, of all places, titled Pimp Your Cubicle.
And you got to figure that somebody thought, ooh, that's kind of sexy. That'll get people's attention. Right? And it's, I don't know. It's like a man dying of thirst and saying, you can have this glass of water, but if you'll wait 3 hours, you can have some wine. Well, really what we need is water. We need basics. We need staples. The idea of pimping your cubicle. And look, I think it appeals to younger folks. I mean, I'm older now, I guess. But if we're trying to lead people to believe that one of the goals of being a professional or of furthering your career is to pimp your cubicle.
Okay, but this person didn't have like flashing neon lights and, you know, big dice hanging in the off the
no it actually talks about a manager who has a zen garden, a bonsai tree, and tea candles in his cubicle. The problem is it implies that is professional or acceptable sort of across the board. And remember, you know, they're making it sound interesting, but they're forgetting the first rule of communication is what the listener does. You have to ask of all your audience, you know, how will that be received? Who are the people going to receive that? And there's going to be some young person who doesn't have a boss who gives her a lot of guidance, and she's going to think it's okay. And she's going to pimp her cubicle. She may not be from a background that would say that, but maybe she would. And then she puts together her cubicle and she shows her true self. And I'm sorry, you know what's going to happen? Some VP is going to be in a meeting and say to her boss, are you the guy that has the young lady pretty sharp working for her who has the cubicle kind of different? Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's got some personality. And the VP says, no, she doesn't. She's weird.
Right.
No, we're not saying she's weird. We're saying you need to be smart about this stuff.
Well, it's not weird. She's being perceived as being weird by somebody. Right. And I think that's the point here before we should probably get into the details of this. But I think it's important for folks to know we're not against individuality, right?
No.
You have lots of opportunities to express your individuality. What we're talking about is if you're smart and you want to have a good career, you have to think a little bit about how your actions are going to be perceived by others.
Yes.
And if you want to express your individuality by pimping out your desk, it's likely that many, and particularly those who have an influence over your career, are not going to perceive you as professional, and it's going to have a negative impact on your career. So this is not about, you know, we're not the big corporate overlords.
Yeah, we're not the police.
Right. Yeah. We're trying to help you understand how some of these things that you may be thinking about doing or doing today, how they're going to negatively impact your career.
And I've railed before against government by anecdote or management by anecdote, that you can always find one example of someone who has a very individualized cube and everyone says, well, that's just him or that's just her. Oftentimes, the reason you can say that's just him or that's just her is they have outsized results and they're seen as somebody who produces results. And the more you produce results, the greater leeway you're given to, okay, quote, pimp
right.
your cube.
So if you're the company rock star, then you can just ignore us because yeah. you have results yeah. that far outweigh everybody yeah. else and you can get away with yeah. almost anything.
And the rest
almost.
Of our cast are about to help you, are about how to get more results.
Right. So if you're not a superstar, then okay, then you might want yeah. to listen.
So look, we're all in favor of people having some sense of you, yourself, in your cube or your office. Everybody's family pictures, in fact, are a little bit different. I've always enjoyed looking at family pictures of people I'm coaching. And there are people who have posed family pictures. They use their previous Christmas card picture. Right. And other, it's individual pictures of frolicking and having fun or the dog or whatever. And that's great. But let's recognize something here, folks, that individuality is good and we need to manage our individuals. And yet when you join an organization, whether it's an organization of two, an organization of 2,000 or 200,000 or even more, recognize that you ought to be willing to give up a little bit of individuality in return for the value that the organization allows you to create as because you're part of it. Recognize as well that it's your cube, but the company paid for that cube. And the company isn't just you. And respect for the broader culture of the company and for others with a little bit of assimilation and respect for your career are all worthy considerations when thinking about your desk decor. And so our guidance here is don't try to stand out. Fit in smartly. It's almost like I'm sure I've seen a fashion ad recently. My wife looks at fashion articles, right? I'm sure I've seen an ad that says fit in smartly or be smart or look smart, right? And smartness means showing your own individuality, but doing so in a professional way or doing so in a way that is not wild or outrageous and certainly not pimped out.
Right. So what are the key points we're going to cover today?
Yeah, this is the most, to go from the word pimp to say these next three things is a little bit of a whiplash effect. We have three recommendations. Be professional, be moderate, and be tidy. It's as simple as that.
Okay. So let's talk about being professional. It's one thing to say be professional, but this is a career tool, so we want to be a little bit more specific.
Yeah.
What is be professional relative to desk in your office? What does it mean?
Well, I've always felt like when I say the word professional, I think pimping, and then we're good. Right? Look, how would we define professional? A professional is a tidy desk and nothing more. And folks, we understand that this is going to bother some of you, but nevertheless, professional on desk decor is a tidy desk and nothing more than your essential equipment, one or two photos of your family or perhaps friends, a couple of work-appropriate pictures of your product or an industry or a landscape or something like that, those kind of things that aren't necessarily family, a single toy or personal item related to your product or industry, and only if you really must, and a small plant to decorate your space if, in fact, you feel you need it. And that's probably the maximum you need to have on your desk or in your cube. Now, look, we're going to make allow for some variation. If you have your own office and there's 25 people who work for you in cubes right outside your office, and you have a conference room table in your office as well as a standard desk, if you will, an office-sized desk with an L shape in it or so on, and you want to hang a picture from the corporate art gallery or the corporate photo gallery or something from the corporate historical archive, and you want to put your diploma or a couple of other pictures, awards that you're given, that's okay. The bigger your space, and we'll talk about that in a minute, that you probably have a little bit more leeway. But if you keep in mind the narrowness of our guidance, tidy desk, essential equipment, one or two photos of your family, a couple of work-appropriate pictures, and a single toy and a small plant, if you keep that kind of stricture in mind, even when you get a bigger space, we don't think you'll get too far from it. And if you're asking yourself, does this fit that idea that Career Tools suggested as far as my cube? If you're thinking no, then probably you better leave it off. And a little bit less individuality in that case will serve you fine, because ultimately the most individuality we want you to have is stellar results.
So my my Beanie Baby collection is out of bounds here. I mean,
do you know, I am the worst person to ask about fads. I never understood Beanie Babies. I never got them. I don't know if they're still famous or not. They certainly were on a lot of desks a number of years ago, right? And people were always saying, well, this is the one that's going to be worth $1 million. I'm not sure it was Dutch tulips exactly. I don't know whether they're still a healthy collectible
market. Close.
But the general rule about something like Beanie Babies, no soft toys, okay?
Picture. You said professional pictures. Pictures of me and my family at the beach?
Okay, generally my rule is no pictures of you on the beach unless you're fully clothed, you're not drunk, and with small children, and there are small children around. In fact, as I think about it, and not drunk with small children, that sounds bad, right? But so unless you're fully clothed, so don't, no pictures of the beach unless you're fully clothed, unless you're not drunk, and unless you have small children, and preferably yours with you. So if it's a family pose photo on a you know, a weekend or a week in Nag's Head or Martha's Vineyard or even Pensacola, in fact, even Daytona Beach, as long as it's a family picture and it looks as if it's posed and so on. And we generally say not as much. We certainly don't want, coming to pictures, I think the bigger issue is not whether any single picture is a problem. I think if we scope it down to two or three or four, maybe a couple of family pictures and a couple of work-related, you know, proper for work related pictures or professional pictures, adult pictures, the issue would be not 50 pictures, not the collage, not the high eye, look at all my friends and all the cool places I've been, right? Inevitably what you see, in fact, if you look at a collage of like a 5x5 collage of 25 pictures, you know, what used to have been Polaroids maybe, but now are nicely printed and maybe they're on 8.5x11s or whatever, you know, printed from a photo printer or whatever, you get a theme. Very quickly. You don't have to look into the pictures, but you can pretty quickly get, you know, a theme. And I have to say, the most common theme that I see when I see a collage of pictures, what I see is a bunch of people taking self pictures. Yeah. You know, the ones with me and someone else with their face mashed up against the side of mine, right? And a person holding a camera out. And in fact, the reason I think those are so interesting now is because I think in the last year or so, I bought my daughter, Kate, one of those cameras that has the little LCD on the front as well as the back. So when you do those pictures, you can see how the picture is going to turn out. You don't have to wait and see whether or not the back looks okay. So you see that a lot. And I think if you're thinking 5x5 collage, bad idea. And if you have a 25 picture collage, I'd be willing to bet there's a 33% chance that that's the theme. And that's probably one of the worst themes I see among professionals today.
Okay. You said plants are okay. I still gonna have a plant.
Yeah. You know, I tell you, I'm okay with plants. I'll tell you, a lot of times I hear people say I have to have a plant. It helps with oxygen and all that sort of stuff. Really no evidence that that's really true or not. But the issue is they start talking about it as if it's important and it's part of their personal health regimen. And then they've got two or three. So we don't want big plants. We don't want greenhouse plants, that kind of stuff.
Okay. How about books? I had a direct of mine one time. Actually, it wasn't a direct of mine. A direct of a direct somewhere in my organization. And he had a collection of Dilbert books on his desk. Now, maybe I should have said something. I didn't.
Right.
I didn't say a thing.
Right.
But I walked away. And frankly, it didn't leave me with a good impression. So maybe that's all me. But what do you think about
that? Yeah. Dilbert is a tough one because it's just so funny.
It is hilarious.
My two favorite comic strips of all time are Dilbert and Calvin and Hobbes. And it still amazes me to this day that Bill Watterson, the guy who does Calvin and Hobbes, never had a child when he was writing about Calvin. But yeah, generally speaking, Dilbert cartoons are, whether you like it or not, if you're under the age of 30, folks, they're terribly funny. I'm sure you want to put the one up that literally shows the pointy-haired boss doing exactly what your boss did last week. It's funny. I would laugh at it, too. And I would also tell you, don't put it up in your cubicle. Gosh forbid that we have a compendium of Dilberts in a book on your desk. And look, folks, Mike was much more dot your I's and cross your T's than I was when I was 23, 24, 25, 26. And of course, now I'm comparing myself to the Army, which is a very regimented, no pun intended, place. And there were times when I got good results and yet was not thought of highly as Mike was in our organization because I didn't walk the straight and narrow. And so my recommendation to you is don't do what I did when I was an officer in the Army and they gave me an office. They said, you know, you need to have an open door policy. So I took the door off the hinges and I got a great deal of trouble by the logistics manager because the door wasn't there and we're signed for the door. And I put the door in a closet, in a big closet in the back of my room as a way of saying, I don't have an open door policy. I have a no door policy. You can always see me. You can always come in.
Well, you know, and yeah, that's just, you don't want to get you in trouble because it makes it say, okay, yeah. Okay, it's like, okay, you know what I mean? Have open door policy? Well, I'm going to take the door off. Right. And I'm going to stick my finger right in your eyeball.
Yeah, exactly.
And Dilbert cartoons kind of come across a little.
That's the point. I'm not making it very well, but you're exactly right. It comes across as, I think my boss is the pointy-eared boss. And look, you can poke your finger in people's eye and, you know. Right,
it's not doesn't hurt you,
right?
Well,
yeah.
not immediately.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Long term,
yeah. And look, let's go a little bit further. We'll talk about tidiness, but no dirty cups, folks. No, you know, if you use the same coffee cup every day, you got to wash it out every day. No, we don't want any food collection. I've read somewhere, it's been several years ago, that people's desk, their keyboard area, is like the filthiest place in an office because the place in the kitchen, the common kitchen, gets cleaned. Right, but the desk never gets cleaned. Right, it doesn't. Nobody has any bacterial wipes at their desk. There are some of you that do, but most people don't. Check your desk right now if you're listening at your desk. Check your desk for 1 month old Post-it notes as reminders. And frankly, by the way, if your computer monitor has 50 Post-it notes stuck around the side of it, you are thought of as grossly unorganized and unprofessional by senior people. Even if those very same senior people do that themselves. If they worry that lower level people in the organization are putting stuff all over, I can't forget this, so I'm going to put it on my monitor. And then you ask somebody, hey, real quick, how many notes do you have on your desk? I've done that before. How many notes do you have on your monitor? He says, I don't know, 2 or 3. And they got 9. Like, okay, how valuable are those? How important are those things that you can't miss, that you can't forget about today?
Right.
One of them's got faded ink on it. Really?
Right.
Come on.
They're like 9 months.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Telephone lists all over the places stuck to the thing. Probably most of you hearing this, you need to do a little bit of spring cleaning. Yeah. And I'll tell you something else we're going to come back to. Folks, your desk has to have space in front of you to work on it. It's got to be a minimum of 24 inches wide by 18 inches deep, and really even better, 36 inches wide by 2 feet deep.
Well, that's a good point. Your desk has to have space to do work because that's what the company is paying you
that's
to
what
do,
they want
right?
You to do, right?
Your desk needs to inspire confidence and trust in the people that see it.
Right.
I mean, it's like your writing or your clothes or your demeanor.
Exactly.
It's an outward demonstration of your professionalism.
Right.
Your managers, your peers, your customers, when they look at your desk, they need to be assured that when they look at it, that you know what you're doing and you're doing it well. And a messy, disorganized, non-professional desk doesn't leave folks with that impression.
The interest in self-expression is great. We want people to express themselves. We want people to bring ideas. We want people to question costs and advocate for higher revenues, provided they're profitable and so on. But personal expression as opposed to self-expression is the gray area, right? Where people say, why are you spending so much time on your cube when I'm not getting good ideas from you? Why are you spending so much time on your cube and your budget is late, right? The greater your individuality at your cube, the more you better have your eyes dotted and your T's crossed. And by the way, let me just say, you know, I mentioned Dilbert and the pointy-eared boss. Scott Adams is brilliant. The cartoon, we love Dilbert, but really, again, it sends the wrong message to the organization. And even if your boss is a clone of the pointy-eared boss, it doesn't help you to say so out loud.
Right. Yeah, it may be true, but it doesn't help to
As I said before, right? I've coached people all the time. I'm sure I've said it on air. Just because it's true doesn't mean it's helpful or persuasive.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Now, some people are probably thinking, well, nobody ever really sees my desk, so why does it matter?
Okay. This is an interesting one I didn't learn until a few years ago. Please think again when you hear that phrase, when you think that phrase, when you say that phrase. It's unlikely to be true. It's really unlikely to be true even if you work from home, which I'll come to in a second. And I've worked from home and planes have been my workplaces for years. Your coworkers, the cleaner, your boss, security, anybody who walks past to visit someone else in your area sees your desk, right? Even if it is true that almost no one sees your desk, here is the real danger of the pimped out cube. You see your desk every single day and you are influenced. But interestingly, when people express with their desk, what we find often, particularly for you high eyes, is they express a lot. It then disappears to them. It's a statement to everybody else, which we don't hear ourselves saying because the cube is just our cube. It's the place where we, quote, work. And yet what ends up happening is the statement is made to other people. You forget what statement you're making. It doesn't really make the statement to you. And if it's your desk, we find that the most expressive desks are often the most messy.
Yeah.
And here's the issue. Every single day, you see your desk. And it took me a long time to learn this, but most of us are profoundly influenced by our own desk. We'd bet, and I'd be interested in your take on this, Mike, we'd bet that every one of you who leaves your desk messy have too many times to count, returned to it, and sighed, sort of an enervating kind of sigh, just kind of losing your own energy because of nothing more than it's messy. And it says there's a lot of undone work there, stuff I've been trying to plow through, but I can't get to.
Yeah, it absolutely sends a message. I found this. If my desk is messy, I walk and I'm immediately, even if I don't recognize why, I'm immediately put off, right? Yeah. And then it becomes even worse.
Put off when, by your own behavior.
Yeah, or it becomes even worse when I'm looking for a piece of paper and then I'm shuffling, you know, in this stack of stuff. And, you know, usually what happens, eventually I figure that out and go like, okay, we're going to stop this. Now, there's folks who clean their desk just to avoid other work. I'm not suggesting that.
Yeah.
But I find once I clean it and I go back in, man, it is, it's a big, big difference.
Yeah. Leaving one's desk messy isn't a luxury we can afford today. And it is a luxury because you spend energy you don't have when you come back to that messiness and you lose energy for getting the stuff that really needs to get done. And let's say something else. For the neat freaks among us, and that's not me, even though I'm not terribly, terribly messy. Mike, stay quiet on that. For the neat freaks, those of you who are a little bit anal, a little bit, you know, overly careful about this stuff, we actually bow to you on this one. You actually take the time to clean off your desk. Now, look, there are some of us who have laughed at you, but you come back every day or every afternoon to a clean state. And regardless of whether we think it says anything to us, right, whether we draw some conclusion about your neat desk or not, you get a feeling of starting clean, of clarity, of a job about to be well done, unfettered by, pardon the expression, crap of piles laying around you. That's a great way to start every day, every afternoon. So, wow, well done. And if you're somebody who values a neat desk, we know also the pain you feel, how hard you groan even more than the rest of us when you come back and you didn't clean your desk and your desk is just a pile of randomness. So folks, no matter who you are, no matter how neat or unneat or how professional or unprofessional your desk is, take your time at the end of the day to clean your desk. And if the high eyes of the world gripe a little bit, smile and tell them the desk's revenge is served cold every morning. To quote, I think that's a Vulcan phrase. Revenge is a dish best served cold, right?
It's a Vulcan phrase?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And let me, because I'm a Trekkie, you know, that's who I am. Let me say something else.
I thought we were going to talk about that on the air.
I wouldn't be against, this is a career tools cast, it's not a manager tools cast. I would not be against a manager saying, okay, folks, clean your desks. And I certainly wouldn't be against drawing a conclusion about somebody whose desk was super messy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
So you used to have like, I think like 500 tribbles on your desk.
I cannot believe you said that. Folks, I've never owned a single Star Trek anything in my life. No, come on, dude. You got to correct that. People are going to think I do.
Okay. Yeah,
The only Star Trek episode I know about is the New Generation one with Wesley, the issue where he learns how to be a manager by actually telling the guy,
Kobayashi Maru. No,
not Kobayashi Maru. Oh, I've mentioned Kobayashi Maru. That's right.
Okay, so there's two.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Okay, but Kobayashi Maru has kind of moved in.
Okay, so anyways.
Okay, fine. I'm done.
Thanks, everyone. That's it for part one. We'll finish this up next week. In the meantime, have a great one.